my life had gone to. I do remember many days thinking, my life is never going to be worth a damn again. I'm never going to laugh again. And I started posting some of this stuff. I thought, all right, well, this probably has some traction. But at no point did I ever think that it would kind of blow up like this.
That was the voice of an unlikely social media influencer. A man who went from being a Kentucky basketball icon to a face of addiction to a Twitter star who rose up by asking that age-old question, block or charge? Today, Ryan McGee brings us the story of how Rex Chapman went from dropping 39 on Jordan's Bulls to bringing us the content we're all here for. I'm Ina Kimes. It's Friday, March 27th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ina Kimes. How are you?
I'm all right. Like most people these days, I am spending entirely too much time on the internet. And let's start there. I want you to open Twitter, look at your timeline, and tell me what you're seeing.
I'm seeing pandemics, and I'm seeing politics, and I'm seeing maybe a little bit of Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, which is might be the weirdest part of the whole thing. And then I'm seeing a guy in the rain running into a stop sign, and I'm seeing a kid getting smacked in the face by an elephant, and I'm seeing another kid giving out free hugs at nursing homes, and that's what I'm looking for.
And where are you seeing this?
I'm seeing that from the most unlikely source, I think, maybe ever, which is at Rex Chapman.
Ryan, when did you first notice Rex Chapman popping up on your timeline?
It was probably a year ago, the spring of 2019, and I started to get the texts from friends who were saying, have you seen this video and have you seen that video and have you seen who is posting these videos? I'm part of this generation where I remember Rex Chapman as Mr. Kentucky basketball. I mean, this must be the greatest high school basketball player that ever lived. And then he's the first draft pick of the Charlotte Hornets. And then he's the white dude in the dunk contest. And then he's hanging 39 on Jordan when he's with the Miami Heat. He's Rexington. He's King Rex. He's Sexy Rexy. And I'm like, there's no way this is the same Rex Chapman. There has to be this other Rex Chapman out there that just happens to be some viral Twitter superstar. And it turns out they are the exact same person.
I think a lot of people seeing Rex's tweets for the first time had a similar reaction. But I also find it very funny that some people, maybe in their 20s and younger, might not even know who Rex Chapman is. Or they just think, oh, yeah, the guy on Twitter who does the videos. So, Ryan, let's educate them and refresh people's memories. Take us back to Kentucky, late 1980s. What was Rex Mania?
Chapman with a steal and the jam.
That's a diaper dandy. That's going to be one of the all-time legends here at Kentucky.
The perspective I'll give you is that I was a North Carolinian living on Tobacco Road. And Rex Chapman was the guy that you made sure you got back to your television by 11 o'clock to see SportsCenter just to see what he had done. He just was, it was electrifying.
This level. Chapman
he was so smooth. He was dribbling behind his back. He was dishing the ball. He was dunking. He was doing everything that, I mean, quite frankly, white dudes weren't doing in college basketball at that time. And this is before the internet, before you could go on YouTube and post your own highlight video. People had heard about him, but they hadn't seen him. So any chance you had to watch this kid from Kentucky play ball, you did it. He was viral before viral was a thing.
You've been under incredible pressure, and yet you just go on with life every day, even though you're probably the biggest folk hero, I guess, since Hulk Hogan. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, Rob would disagree with that probably, but I don't know. I just take it day by day.
So Rex was this huge star, and as you mentioned, being in Kentucky, there was a massive spotlight on him. How did he handle that?
He handled it by kind of circling his own wagons.
For me, I just wanted to play basketball, and that's it. The playing part at Kentucky, no problem. I loved it. I was good at it, could handle it, no worries. It was the off-court stuff that really weighed on me.
He didn't go to the cafeteria. He tried to go to bars with his teammates, and he was met at the door by the bouncer who said, Rex, man, I'd love to let you in here, but everyone knows who you are. If I let you in here, the police will be here in 4 minutes. It just was, it was a lonely existence, surrounded by people all the time, but alone.
Every moment, every minute that I wasn't in class or at practice, I was either shooting by myself or sleeping. And I think I was rationalizing it as I'm getting my rest. Mm-hmm. But no, I was depressed and back then you didn't talk about that stuff.
He believed that at 18, 19 years old, he was just getting his rest. But the reality was he was dealing with depression by just going to sleep.
How else did he cope with it?
He started playing the horses. He did what everyone in Kentucky does. And he started playing the horses at a pretty young age. And that was another time and place where he could feel normal. You know, he could go to the horse track and he could put his face, you know, in that racing form. And everybody else was worried about their racing forms and they weren't bothering him.
So after his sophomore year, Rex declares for the NBA draft and he ends up with the brand new expansion Charlotte Hornets.
For the 8th pick in the draft and their first in the NBA, the Charlotte Hornets select Rex Chapman of Kentucky.
What was that like?
It is hard to describe to someone who didn't experience it what Hornets mania was like in Charlotte. This is a bad basketball team. This is a team whose best player was Kelly Tripucka, but they set an NBA record for attendance. And they sold out every single game for years. It was Muggsy Bogues and Del Curry. And Rex Chapman was the young guy. He was the face of the franchise. He wasn't just the best player on the team. He was in the NBA dunk contest, Mina. I mean, and going behind his back. I mean, he was a sensation.
How did the rest of his NBA career go?
He never played an all-star game. I mean, he made the all-rookie team. You know, he averaged 15 points per game over a dozen years. He had his moments. There was a famous night where he hung 39 on Michael Jordan, and it wasn't just Michael Jordan. It was the 96 Bulls, you know, the unbeatables. You know, in Phoenix, he became, you know, as the sixth man, essentially, he became the most popular guy on the team. And so it was everywhere he went, there was a following.
Chapman for the tie.
So in the end, why didn't he keep playing?
He got old. Happens to all of us. You know, Father Time was undefeated. And, you know, over the last 3 years of his career, he had 7 surgeries. It just got to the point where he knew in that 2000 season with the Phoenix Suns that that was going to be his last year, because it just got to the point where his whole game was explosiveness. And he did not have the capability to do that anymore.
I knew I was going to retire at the end of this my 12th year. I just wasn't very good. I was spending more time in the training room than I was playing. It wasn't fun at that point. And I had an emergency appendectomy right near the end of the season. I got back home, and a doctor gave me a prescription for OxyContin. They gave me that OxyContin, and I'm telling you, within 2 days, I was in love. Like, greatest thing I've ever had in my life.
Suddenly, his social anxiety was gone. Suddenly, he felt like he was a better dad or better husband. But as anyone who has been hooked on opioids will tell you, that's the curse. The curse is that you think everything's great, because everything feels great. But the reality is that everything is not great.
All right, after the break, let's talk about how Rex finally hit rock bottom and what brought him back. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. So Ryan, in 2000, Rex Chapman finally retired from the NBA after 12 seasons, and after that kind of faded from the spotlight. What happened next in his life?
He was a scout and had various front office jobs with a couple of different teams. You know, primarily worked for the Phoenix Suns. He's married, has four kids. He thinks that everything at home is going well. But as with everything in his life, it's been masked by the fact that he is completely addicted to painkillers.
It made me feel like I was a better dad and a better husband and all that initially. But it's just too slippery of a slope. They say it all the time. Drugs are fun, and then it's fun with problems, and then it's just problems.
And so Rex Chapman for years was knocking down 5 bottles of pills a day. Vicodin, OxyContin.
I just kept pain pills by the bed under the mattress. You know, I'd sneak them out in the night, chew them, eat them, wouldn't even wake up. Just that far gone.
Like I said earlier, it makes you think everything's okay, but it's all a mask and it's all a sham. And the reality is it's not. And Danny Ainge went to him and said, something's wrong with you. And he went to rehab. It didn't take. A little while later, he was approached again. Something's wrong with you. And he went to rehab and it didn't take. And in the meantime, his marriage fell apart.
My life had gone to addiction and it's tough. And when you're in the depths of it, I do remember many days thinking, my life is never going to be worth a damn again.
What did Rex say was his low point amidst all of this?
The low point is very easy to find.
Breaking news tonight. We're right there outside the jail where a well-known suspect just showed up. Here he is, caught on video. This time, a former Suns player.
Scottsdale police released surveillance video showing Chapman inside an Apple store in North Scottsdale. Chapman was arrested last Friday on suspicion of shoplifting more than $14,000 in merchandise.
Rex Chapman was arrested. And I say this is easy to find because if you Google the name Rex Chapman, you don't get funny videos. You don't get the dunk contest. You don't get hanging 39 on Jordan. You get the mugshot. He was checked into rehab for a third time. This time, instead of out west, it was in Louisville, Kentucky, and it was at a hospital that is run by a former teammate of his, Paul Andrews. And as of today, that third trip to rehab was the successful one.
What was it about that third trip that changed things for him?
I think being home. Being in Kentucky certainly helped. But what Rex said to me was, he said that the difference between this trip to rehab and the others was that this time he was willing to concede, yes, this is the right thing to do.
I can remember my first day in rehab, the last rehab, getting there and laying down, and I'm at the bottom, you know, everybody. I'm probably still being talked about on the news at this point, and newspapers, and internet, all that stuff. And I remember getting in the bed there, laying back, nobody, and there's no doctors. I'd just been put in my room. And I laid down and I looked and I just sort of went, and I really exhaled and I thought, this is exactly where I need to be.
So he goes home. He gets clean. He turns things around. What does Rex Chapman do next?
Rex Chapman goes back to Lexington. And it's no longer Rexington. It's just Lexington. and people of a certain age know who he is. And people of a certain age are still asking for autographs and are still, you know, wanting to hear stories about the good old days. But there was also that group from that older generation that were embarrassed. And they don't want to have anything to do with him because of the mugshot and because they're like, this dude's a junkie. And so year by year, month by month, he won those people over. And then he did what we all do. You know, he got jobs. He got a job with NBA TV. He got a job with the Kentucky Wildcats radio network during the pregame show. And because he had those public jobs, he's like, okay, I should do social media. And he hated it because what he found on social media was, there was no happiness. It was all gloom and doom and politics and high and mighty, and everything he looked at made him feel worse. And one day he decided he'd have enough.
What did he do? I'm listening very carefully because I feel like I too could learn something from this next answer.
We all could, right? We're all guilty of kind of falling into this, onto this treadmill of Twitter. And it was January of 2019. And he was like, I'm either going to walk away from this or I'm going to change my approach. And he saw a video of a guy on a paddleboard who is headed out into the ocean. And what we can see that that poor guy can't see is that there is a wall of dolphins swimming fin to fin just beneath the surface of the water. And as they're going to go under him, right? And then all of a sudden, at the last possible split second, one of those dolphins launches into the air, body checks the guy off of the paddleboard, goes back into the water, and the dolphins just go on.
And just one day saw that video of a guy paddleboarding and a school of dolphins swimming in. One of them jumped, hit him in the chest, and I said to myself, that's charge.
And so he posts the video and he puts it out to the world, block or charge. And that tweet took off.
Wait, took off how much?
Like took off like he had maybe 30,000 Twitter followers and the response was so strong, he doubled that number. And he started posting regularly and asking the same question, block or charge. And by the summer, he's got 100,000 Twitter followers. And now he has more than 500,000. I don't know what that feels like because I'm nowhere near that. But I continue to try to find some tweet that will one day provide me with that following.
If you're listening, please follow Ryan McGee right now. ESPN McGee. throw a few follows his way. There aren't going to be Rex Chapman caliber videos, but there's some good jokes. So Rex started doing block or charge, but since then it's expanded, right? He no longer is just posting, you know, videos of people getting hit.
Yeah, it's expanded and it's expanded even more. I mean, just in the last couple of weeks, as more and more people have had to just keep it in their house in the middle of this COVID-19 mess. You know, it I mean, the beginning was just slapstick. It was just America's Funniest Home Videos. But then it expanded into the heartwarming stuff. This is the Twitter content I'm here for, is what he always says. It's the kid giving out the free hugs at the nursing home. And it's, you know, these kids with Down syndrome who are being able to check in to play for the first time ever in their last ever high school basketball game and scoring points. And then it's dogs, bruh. Rex Chapman loves dogs. Any cute dog video he can possibly find, it goes up there. It just is kind of taken on this fun, heartwarming, make you feel good, you know, make you laugh life. And it's not just about, you know, a guy getting hit in the crotch with a golf club, although I'm all about that. But there's also, you know, content that's a little deeper than that.
Why does Rex believe his content has resonated so much with so many people?
I think that he recognizes that we all needed a break. And that we all need a break every single day. Read the responses to everything that Rex posts. Because, and it's not just the fact that the responses are coming from Mark Hamill and Richard Marks and Chuck D and the governor of Massachusetts. It's the craziest you know, group of people you'll ever see in one place at one time, but it's all positive. Every now and then he'll get someone saying, you know, hey, what do you know, crackhead or whatever, drug addict. And his response to that is almost always his own mugshot from Google. And it's because he wants people to know that he is well aware of what he fell into, and he's well aware of what he recovered from and is still recovering from. And sometimes he'll just throw it out there on his own just to remind everybody, you know, it's this is where I've been and this is who I am, but it's okay to laugh.
Well, given the fact that, you know, that mugshot used to be the image that people associated with Rex and sort of his demise after playing basketball, does he feel like this has all given him some degree of redemption?
There's no question about it. There have been three different Rex Chapmans. There's the basketball phenom. There's the guy who wandered in the wilderness for 10 years as an addict that we've all seen the mugshot. And now there's the new accidental social media influencer. And it's amazing.
So Twitter's not all that bad.
It's not. As long as you check in on Rex Chapman every now and then, it's a nice little reset button for your brain.
Thanks so much, Ryan. I already follow you, but I'll unfollow you and follow you again.
Thank you, Mina Kimes. I've always followed you.
For more on Rex Chapman's story, check out Ryan McGee's piece tonight on E60 and on ESPN.com. Coming up, a hockey equipment company is making masks, but not for players. Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Here's another story I want you to know. All across the sports world, people are pitching in to try to find ways to help others during this crisis. Athletes like Zion Williamson and Kevin Love pledged to cover the salaries of arena workers. Drew Brees just donated $5 million to the state of Louisiana to help afflicted communities there. And Steph Curry just interviewed Dr. Anthony Fauci on Instagram Live. Meanwhile, some companies are also finding creative ways to help. For example, Bauer, which makes hockey skates, gloves, and sticks, just changed its operations from manufacturing gear to making medical equipment. Our own Emily Kaplan reported that Bauer is making medical shields, which sort of look like gigantic hockey masks, to be delivered to hospitals in Canada in the next week or so. And they're looking to begin production for hospitals in the U.S. too. Bauer CEO told Kaplan that they figured out how to repurpose their plants in just 4 working days. And now they can not only help doctors and nurses, but also keep their workers in business. Meanwhile, just days after the Sixers were criticized for cutting employee pay, a move they reversed, one of the team's owners, Fanatics chairman Michael Rubin, announced that one of his factories will be shifting workers from making baseball jerseys to producing medical masks and gowns, with the intention of making 1 million of them and donating them to hospitals across Pennsylvania and eventually beyond. Ideally, sports will come back soon. But until then, it's heartening to see prominent people in the industry finding ways to use their time and money. I'm Ina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Russell Donalo, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vale. I'll talk to you Monday.